Yeah, I've slightly changed the title. Thank you. First, I thank the organizers for inviting me to attend this great workshop and for asking me to talk about this work. So I've changed the title slightly. It's about type 3 criterion for generalized CCR flows, and it's part of the joint work with Masaaki Izumi. And Izumi has already talked about most of it, and but he hasn't touched upon something, so I'm just going to talk about that. So, he talked about associating type 3 factors to type 3 issue of semigroups. That's if the issue of semigroup is type 1, then it gives rise to only type 1 factor. But suppose if the local algebra is type 3, then it automatically implies it, the easy lesson group type 3. But that's done for only one family. But he stated many results, like Selassie examples are also, we can prove that it is type 3. And suppose if some phi is in some L1 local 0 infinity, then intersection L2 of 0 infinity with respect to this measure, this is minimum of x and 1, then one can associate, one can get a 2 C0 semigroup, which I'll explain, and one can associate a E0 semigroup for this phi. And this is alpha phi. This alpha phi is type 3 if and only if phi is not in L2 0 infinity. So this statement he made, and that is proved using the type 3 criterion I'm going to talk about. So that's what I'm going to talk about. So most of this is in the joint paper with Izumi, and but I will recall some results from my earlier paper with Rajaram Bhatt. Type 3 is equivalent to this case. If and only phi is not in L201. And it is, it can be either type 1 or type 3, so it is type 1 if it is in L20 infinity. So first I will recall what a CCR flow is, which everyone knows. I hope I don't have to define E0 semigroup. That is the last lecture, and everybody knows. So let me just start with CCR flow. So if K is a complex Hilbert space and ST is a unilateral shift on L2 0 infinity, all functions, square integral functions from 0 infinity to K, then the CCR flow is defined like this on the Weyl operators, and it can be extended to the all algebra of all bounded operators on the Fock space of L2 0 infinity K. So this is CCR flow, everybody knows. So this, we want to generalize this, and Izumi has already talked about this. I will recall this definition. So instead of using one complex Hilbert space L2 0 infinity K, we will be dealing with real Hilbert space. So suppose if we have a G is a real Hilbert space, and we consider the complex G, C is the complexification of G, then we consider the symmetric Fock space of this complexification. And we have two C0s, two semigroup of linear operators from G to G. These are real linear operators. Of a semigroup of linear operators from G to G, then we consider this association. So alpha t of w of x go to w of stx, that's for real x. For the imaginary y, w of iy goes to w of ittty. So we take two C0 semigroup, match it, and consider this association. So the question is, then can we extend this map to an E0 semigroup on the whole of B of H, where H is that symmetric Fock space? So the continuity and the semigroup property of alpha t will immediately imply that both ST and TT have to be C0 semigroups. And alpha t has to be an endomorphism on the Weyl algebra to start with, so that it has to satisfy this relation. So that is exactly equivalent, if you use canonical commutation relation and compute everything, that is exactly equivalent to saying that TT star ST equal to 1. So that's this condition. So we got an endomorphism semigroup on the Weyl algebra. So only question is, when can we extend it to the whole of B of H? That's the question. And the answer is, it extends if and only if TT minus ST is a Hilbert Smith operator for all T. I haven't said that, for all T. So this is the answer. This was mentioned in Izumi's talk itself. So we define a perturbation for given any two C0s any group, we define, we say one is perturbation of the other if the child displays these two conditions. So given two C0s any group, where one is the perturbation of the other, we can associate E0s any group. We call that E0s any group. We can associate the E0s any group in the following about the, it is explained there. So in, I mean, it's defined here also. So given a perturbation TT of ST, we say the E0s any group alpha TA, I mean, which is defined like this, which is called generalized CCR flow. So this is generalized CCR flow, and of course, I didn't arrive at this directly. So it all started with the historical event of Cyrilson producing uncountably many type 3 examples of product system. So Cyrilson produced in 2000, Cyrilson produced constructed uncountable family of mutually non-isomorphic type 3 product systems. And of course he uses off-white noises to produce those examples, but there is a construction of exponentiating additive structures, a so-called sum system to product system. And for that, for the sum system, he uses Gaussian spaces, and he associates the measure type spaces to the Gaussian spaces. And in Arvidsson's book, in the last paragraph, he talks about this after discussing these examples. He says that, using path spaces, etc., Arvidsson proves that if you exponentiate additive structure in some sense, if you exponentiate it, you are supposed to get only type 1 product systems. But on the other hand, Cyrilson actually exponentiates type 1, additive structures, and he gets type 3 product systems. So, looks like something paradox. So, finally, this is the last statement in his book. It is clear that we have not achieved a satisfactory understanding of the existence of logarithms in the category of product system. And this was clarified in my paper with Rajaram Bhatt. So we gave, only of course the language is different, but it's the same thing. We gave a construction from an operator algebraic viewpoint. So that was given by me and Rajaram Bhatt. So we called that as product system arising from some system. And so let me recall that construction. So we need some notation, and then a theorem, and then a definition. Then I can explain the construction after that. So for two real Hilbert space, I haven't said that, but G always denotes real Hilbert space. When it is a complexification, we put a C on the top. So for two real Hilbert spaces, G1 and G2, we define S of G1, G2 as all operators which are invertible, but I minus S star A half is Hilbert Smith. This is like quasi-unitary. S or A is not identity, but it differs from identity by Hilbert-Smith operator. So for two real Hilbert spaces, G1 and G2, and A in this class, we define a real linear operator between the complexifications by that. It takes the in real part to AU, but imaginary part to A in A star inverse. And this will be what is called a symplectic isomorphism between G1C and G2C. So, in general, SA is not a complex linear. It is supposed to be a real linear operator, and it is complex linear if and only if it is unitary. So then we have this theorem. The original theorem is due to Shales. This is Shales' theorem. I again forgot to mention the name. The original theorem is Shales' theorem, but Shales' theorem is for one single G and a positive operator, positive quasi-unitary, something like that. For that, he proved that, but it's not difficult to generalize it. But the main point is this. This thing was not proved in Shale's thing. So we proved this. This is this. It respects the multiplication. This was an open question in the K.R. Pasarathy's book. And we proved that it respects the multiplication. It's actually a given action, number of action on that. So, and this is of course crucial for defining. And this is of course just a technical condition, because always you can multiply gamma A by a complex number of unit modulus and you will get that. So you need this, the second condition is just a technical condition, and the first condition is what we need. So if we have an A in that class, A is an operator from G1 and G2, then we get a gamma A. We can assess for A, we can express a generalization of the second quantization in symmetric Fock space. So if you have a unitary, you can always second quantize it. And if you have a quasi-unitary, you can do this. So it satisfies this relation, this first relation. Second relation is just technical relation. And further, this map gamma satisfies these properties. So once we have all these things, so given a A between SFG1 and G2, we have a gamma A between the Fox, symmetry Fox space of the complexifications. So once we have all these things, we need a sum system, and then we can get to product system. The sum system is nothing, it's a, we have some universal Hilbert space G0 infinity, and we have a family of Hilbert space indexed by intervals in 0 infinity. For each ST interval in a 0 infinity, we have a Hilbert space GST, such that if GST is contained in GS prime T prime, ST is contained in S prime T prime. And we also have a C0 semigroup on the big Hilbert space G0 infinity, such that, and it may not be semigroup of isometry, just as some C0 semigroup, but it satisfies this condition. If you take G0 infinity, it shifts to GS S plus T, but it has to be in that S class, whatever. So it will automatically become injective by that, by this property if you just use this. And further, this G0S, GSS plus T, they are not orthogonal, but they, I mean, if you take that map, suppose if that map is identity, then they are orthogonal, but they are not orthogonal. If you take the external direct sum and consider that map is in this class. This is like, they are not exactly orthogonal, they are quasi-orthogonal. Once you have all these things, then if you have a sum system GST, ST, then you define HT as the path space of G0TC, G0TC, and then consider the unitary operators given by that. Basically, it's gamma ST, the other things are just, it shifts, one of them is shift, gets shifted, and this forms a product system, is a theorem. Only the measurable, I mean, the associative property follows from the 0.4 there. And the measurability is the technical thing, you know, which one has to work out. So this is the theorem. So given a sum system, we get a product system. And what is the E0 semigroup associated with the product system? So that can be given in terms of two C0 semigroup. So it will be a generalized CCR flow. So it looks like this. So now let's forget about that. Given a sum system, we get a product system. So we have sum system. This G, A, B, S, T, and we construct a product system out of it, and we denote this G0 infinity by just G, per, and then this A, T is A, T infinity, just for our, so, then we can consider this S, T is an operator between G and G, T infinity. We have S, T star inverse is well defined between G and G, T infinity. So, I mean, we just consider that as an operator on B of G itself, just some, I mean, we can do that. Then we define TT by this. This TT is a C0 semigroup, one can check it, and this TT, so we have two C0 semigroups. One is ST, which is already comes with the sum system, and we have another C0 semigroup, one has to check it, one is very easy verification. We have another TT, which is also a C0 semigroup, and this TT will be a perturbation of this TT, of the ST. If we use the sum system, all those axioms, we will get that TT is a perturbation of ST. So we have got two C0 semigroups, which is one is a perturbation of the other, so we have to get a, we get a generalized CCR flow out of it. So this C0 semigroup associated with this product system can be described in terms of these two C0 semigroups as follows. Well, I have written it again, but it's basically the generalized CCR flow which we have defined earlier. So given a sum system, we get two C0 semigroups and we get a generalized CCR flow like that. Okay. So now the remaining question is, if we have just two C0 semigroups, whether it always arises from a sum system. So that's the question, and it is also true. I mean, there is nothing new in that. It always arises from a sum system. So now let's start with two C0 semigroup. Let G be a real Hilbert space, and we consider the H be the complexity, I mean, symmetric Fox space of the complexification of G. And we have two C0 semigroups, TT and ST, where one is a perturbation of the other. Then we define G0T as the kernel of TT star. And G0 infinity, you take all union of all G0T and complete it. So we have family of Hilbert spaces, real Hilbert spaces. That's just, I mean, that's just real linear operator. So this kernel is just real. So we have a family of Hilbert spaces, and we have a ST, one ST. So of course, we'll verify later that forms a sum system. But we won't actually get back the original C0 semigroup or the generalized CCR flow we defined through original C0 semigroup. We will get something which is quasi-equal conjugate to that. So the basic problem is the C0 infinity may not equal to that original G. this G0T may not generate that G0Ts, these families may not generate the original G. So it will generate, it can generate some subspace of it, G0 infinity, then we take the projection from G to G0 infinity and hit these things by that P. And that will actually form, will form a, so this is P0, TP0, when you hit by this P, that will again be C0 semigroup, one can check it. And it will be a perturbation, that is very clear, it will be a perturbation of each other. So then this statement follows. Suppose, it, so if we have a real Hilbert space, if we have two C0 semigroups on that, where one is the perturbation of the other, then GST are defined like this, then that GAB, ST0, that forms a, some system, where we take ST0 there. And this pair of, so we get a generalized CCR flow associated with these two things, and that, I mean, so in the product, so that is same as the, I mean, you know, what is it? Yeah, that, the product system of that is given by this sum system, which I have defined by GAB. And there is another, the original generalized CCR flow is also there, which arises from ST and TT, that will be, that will have the same product system as, one can prove that, one cannot directly prove that they are cocycle conjugate, but one can prove that these two generalized CCR flow have the same product system, so they are supposed to, I mean, they have to be cocycle conjugate to each other. So, we get something cocycle conjugate to that, we get something back, which is cocycle conjugate to the original ST and TT. So, generally, CCR flow have two kinds of description. One is through C0 semigroup, one is through some system. They are same. So that's what I have talked till now. So next thing is we want to go to talk about the type 3 criterion. So for that we have to talk about, I mean, I'm working with some system, this type 3 criterion, I mean, the proof is through product system. So I have to work with some system and product system. So I have to define some sort of additive cocycle, we call it addits. For the additive cocycle is for the C0 semigroups. For some system we call it as addits. So they are defined as follows. If you are given a sum system, GABST is a sum system, and there are two kinds of addits, real addits and imaginary addits. The real addit is defined like this. It's a family of vectors XT, where XT is in G0T, and it has to satisfy this cocycle condition. This is the cocycle condition. This is, of course, a technical condition. Measurability is needed when we want to prove theorem. So that's why this measurability, we need that relation to be measurable, and this is the actual, I mean, this is the additive condition we need. And imaginary additivity is something where, of course, instead of, this is basically nothing but AST of that direct sum, but here you have to take AST star inverse of that direct sum, that's what we take. That's imaginary additivity is another family, which again is measurable, and it is supposed to satisfy AST star inverse of that things has to be OS plus T. It also satisfies an additive condition, but we have different operators. Well, the basically this will correspond to additive cocycles of ST, this will correspond to, I mean, this will have bijection, in bijection with additive cocycles of TP. So, that's what, and we can actually get that. So, this is just notation. We denote real additive units by that and imaginary additive units by that. So, but then if we are given a real addit, we can define XT, XST, we can shift it. And we denote it by XST. For any interval, we have a vector given by a real addit. And for imaginary addit, we do that, but we shift it by this SS star inverse rather than SS. So, but the real addit, the imaginary addit, for an imaginary addit, we can do something more. We can define something like this, where A is an operator from this spaces to that space. If we have that, then we can define A star inverse of, I mean, where we take this vector here and just zero there. If we use that, then we get a vector which is in G0S. So that is why this S is here, which is in G0S. And this corresponds to this interval. And if we take it to be infinity, which also we can do, G0 infinity is also Hilbert space in the sum system. If we take S to be infinity, then this gives the additive cocycle of the C0 semigroup TT, and the XT is any additive cocycles of ST. So, and those are all other conditions. So, with these things, we have the following proposition. Well, actually, this is what is called the divisibility condition, but now it's known that every sum system is divisible. So, for any sum system, the addits actually exist, and it will generate the product sum system. That is, if you take all these vector xs t and take the span real linear closure of the space, you get whole g0 s. So this is the divisibility condition. I mean, this is this is satisfied by every sum system. So because of this, we have the following theorem. So this was initially proved in my paper with Rajaram Bhatt, where we assume the divisibility condition, which is no more required. So if we have every product system arising from a sum system is either type 1 or type 3, it cannot be type 2. So which consequently implies that every generalized CCR4 is either type 1 or type 3. The proof is not difficult. If you have additive cocycle, you can kind of, you take the Weyl operators of that will give an automorphism of the product system or gauge cocycle of the generalized CCR flow. And that will generate the whole, I mean, all, that will generate the B of HT in some sense, which should not happen in a type 2 product system. Type 2 product system, the automorphism group cannot generate B of HT. So because of that, so we can prove this. Using that, we can prove that we can only have type 1 or type 3. So that's a rough proof. So we have only type 1 or type 3. So we state the type 1 criterion. We know what is type 3 criterion. So, well, we denote the index of some system by this, just the dimension of this. Then exponential product system, this is actually the index of the product system also. But here it's not the case, of course. When we get type 3, it's not the case, of course. So we assume the, well, for infinite also one can prove, but I don't want to go into that. We assume the index is finite. We are actually working with when the index is 1. So assume the index is finite. In that case, they carry linear topology. We don't take the closure of it. The closure is g0t. We just take the span of those vectors. Just we are going to define an operator which can probably be unbounded. So we just take the linear span. We don't take the closure. So if we have any linear map between the additive units to real additive units to imaginary additive units, we can define a map between these dense subspaces, these two dense subspaces, which we can define it like that. I mean, suppose J takes some X to Y, then this JT0 takes X S1 S2 to Y S1 S2 T prime, whatever that was defined earlier, so whatever. So, and this takes the corresponding Y, but the same S1 ST is taken to S1 ST, and this T is because there is a T here, for each T it's defined, and so one has to be careful with that definition, that's all. So when this JT0 has a bounded extension, we denote it just by JT, then this is the type 3 criterion. So this is the theorem. If we have a sum system with finite index, then we have a product system from the sum system, then the statements are equivalent. The product system is type 1 if and only if there is a linear isomorphism between the real edits to the imaginary edits. Satisfying this property, that JT0 extends to a bounded positive operator, and that should be in the class which was defined. It should be a positive quasi-unitary. So this map between, so it can be stated in terms of additive cocycles of the ST and TT also. It should take the imaginary real additive cocycles to imaginary, we get a map on, I mean, some, actually that this D0T, okay, let me not say that. I mean, so I have to say something. Let me not say that. So in terms of product system, some system, this is the statement. Then that is type 1. Actually, we don't need it for all T. It's enough if we have it for any of the T. So we can take T equal to 1. So this is the remark. Of course, we know that it only can be type 1 or type 3. So if if that property is violated, then of course it is type 3. So violating this condition J1 is in G01 is necessary and sufficient for the associated product system to be of type 3. And so in my paper with Rajaram Bhatt, we gave a sufficient condition for type 3, which actually comes from Cyrilson's invariance. So that's basically the Cyrilson invariant for type 1. We can actually prove that Cyrilson invariant has some lin inf involved. It is something like this. Lin inf of some G, E, and for some sequence of elementary sets, it's supposed to be G01, where these are all elementary sets in 01. And for some other statement like lin sup of G, E, and complement is trivial. So if the sets for which this happens, both of these things happens, that's an invariant for the product system. So that was the statement. But some system, suppose if this happens, then this should also happen, is a statement. But sorry, for type 1, if the sum system gives rise to type 1 product system, then this happens, this should also happen. So that is the type 1 criterion, which is a sufficient condition we have proved for we have proved for some product system arising from some system in the earlier paper. But that's a very, this is a much more powerful condition. Because that when we assume, suppose if this J1 is unbounded, from that, if you assume J1 is bounded, from that one can get this condition actually. But we have something more. J1 has to be in that class, it has to be quasi-unitary. So there are many examples of some system of index 1 with bounded J1 which gives us to type 3. That's actually arises from Senescence invariant. So in particular, there are many type 3 examples which cannot be distinguished from type 1 example by the invariance introduced by Senescence product system. So those examples were discussed by Masaki in his talk. And I'm just coming to one example where he has defined that. Let me give you the whole thing. If you have TT and ST, then that TT can be written, suppose the difference is KT, then the KT is actually given by a kernel like that. That's just a condition needed for the semigroup, for TT to be semigroup. So this is the kernel condition. So you have call your sleeve, if KT is given by any such measurable function, any such kernel, then we get a C0 semigroup, we should get a TT which is a C0 semigroup, which is a perturbation of ST. So given any C, the statement is, if given any C in that class, you get a Xi which satisfies this. So once you have a C and Xi, one can define a KXY like this. And if you have a KXY like this, you get a TT like that.
So the kernel K has to be in L2, right?
Kernel? Once you have a K like this, you have a TT like that. And once we have a TT and ST, which are perturbation of each other, we have a generalized CCR flow associated to that. So the statement is generalized CCR flow is type 1 if and only if P is in L2 0 infinity. So if it's not P is in L2 0 infinity, then that is type 3. So this is proved using that type 3 criterion in the previous slide. So stop. Thanks. Some system?
Yes.
That did arise from a some system?
Yeah.
Any
system.
No, that may not be possible because certainly we don't get type 2 doesn't arise from a
type 1.
Type 1.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly isomorphic to exponential product system. So, you are asking given some concrete type 1 product system, whether it actually arises, can you get back the sum system?
Yes.
For type 1?
Yeah.
But some systems are being, in general, some system may not be isomorphic, but the product system can be isomorphic. But not in type 1, but that happens in, not in type 1. That happens in, when it gives rise to type 3 product system, this can happen. But in a general sense, actually, the sum systems are isomorphic. I mean, if you consider, further, you have to consider complex, you have to slightly generalize this, and generalize the definition of isomorphism of sum system. But anyway, I'm not answering your question. I'm just saying that the functorial, it may not be functorial if you take this definition of sum system in general. But if you take complex sum system and slightly change the definition of isomorphism sum system, then it may be. We haven't proved, but it may be true. But for type 1, I think that should be true. If then we should be able to assess it. But I haven't tried. I'm not able to say now. I think it should be true. Yeah.
Well, this is a question that's on several of our minds. You may not be able to answer it, but do you have any reason to think that you can cast light on whether or not every type 3 has a logarithm?
No. Yes, for this example, we don't know. So, but it looks like that. I tried it, but I'm not able to get the sum system for that. I tried it. I haven't got it. But it looks very much like it arises from a sum system. But generally, there may be very complicated type 3.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I guess
yeah. That's how it looks, but I'm not able to
write
it.
You tried to do misconstruction?
Yeah.
Using the canonical commutation relation.
Yeah,
you take the same car. Yeah. No, this construction always come with a lot.
Yes. But it all looks very difficult because, if you have units, you get back the type 1 product system like that. Well, just by using automorphism, we should be able to get this sum system and everything, but it's not at all clear. Even the automorphism group is not completely computed. I think we know what the automorphism group is, but it's not. I'm not able to prove they are. That exhausts everything. There is no more. There is nothing more. I'm not able to say that. Not able to prove it. I can write it down. Shall I write it down? Now, if we have this XT, which is an adit.
Yeah, I can't see it.
So suppose if we have, let's just consider this TP, ST, which is just on some G, and you consider this kernel of ST star and kernel of TT star, and you have something like the XT in this and YT in this, which satisfies this, and XS plus TT, ST, TT, XT equals XS plus T. So such thing exists, such thing exists, and they generate this this kernel and this thing. So such thing exists also. That's what the statement I made in terms of some system. This is in terms of just C0 semigroup. This is YS plus S. So I have just interchanged some SS, YT equal to YS plus T. Yeah. And you just take W of XT, this is the Gauss square cycle, W of YT, and you have many of them. You have this many of them, and...
You always have that?
Yeah, always have that.
You always have the top equation, you always do that?
Yes, we can always get that.
Oh, okay.
In this generalized Fisher flow.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, in this example, in this framework, yeah, we get always get this.
But there's a lot of different keys. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what key is, you can always do
that. Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
Well, it's a family index.
Yeah, it's family, yeah. The family, that's what I'm saying. For each T, you have this, and then it satisfies this cosecant relation, yeah. And there should be something corresponding to the, I mean, we can't have the rotations, that's because of this J operator is blocking, because we have a type 3 condition. When it gives to type 3, we can't have rotations, we can't have something, suppose if they have a unitary from this G0TC to this G0TC, and that you cannot use, because we can't take anything from the imaginary part to real part, we can't do something like that. But if it is within the real part or imaginary part, then we do get a cosecant corresponding to that.
You might have, why can't you go from?
That's because of the type 3 condition. I just removed it. There's a type 3 condition. If that's such a, not just we can't go from the real to imaginary, that has to be a quasi unitary kind of thing. Then only it will define an automorphism or unitary cosecant. So that condition will be violated by the type 3. I mean, the type 3 condition is exactly violating that. So we can't do that. So those things won't be there.
That says something about the automorphism.
Yeah, so automorphism something will be less than something, something less than the type 1. Yeah, so it looks, but it looks difficult to prove it, that they are all the automorphism.
So you don't have the unitaries at all?
Yeah. No, we have unitaries, only the real ones, yeah, within the...
But you have the thing goes from x to minus,
plus minus. In the index 1 case, there is only 1, plus or minus.
What is with respect to the...
Projective cosecant one has to be looked. Yeah, no, the rest part. Your question, the subordinate question related to the subordinate question. Yeah, I have to think about it. I want to look at that. Yes, that seems to be the solve, but the whole problem is again. No, whole problem is not there doesn't exist anything else we have to prove. So that would be there. Yeah.
I understand that. Because if you just multiply them, then projection on the even just right.
No, but this is a one dimensional thing. When you take one then there is a index is n, you do have always subordinate, but the index is 1, there may not be any subordinate.
Yes.
Right.
This is weird. A lot of questions. Maybe there are many more things to discuss. Let's make a small break in the discussion.